One of my favorite annual events is the Waseca Marching Classic. There are more or less 10 different marching bands marching in the parade, and then there's the field show. It's fun to hear a good band play, isn't it? And it's a thrill to watch a good band march. And each member of the band does their part to produce a spectacle of choreography and melody and harmony and percussion. And each and every member contributes to the whole. Trumpet players sound the melodic voice. Tuba players supply the sonic boom. And drummers beat the living pulse. And each member playing their instrument makes a vital contribution to the whole. And that's how Christ designs his church. The Holy Spirit distributes the band instruments, which the Bible calls spiritual gifts. And each and every believer, each and every one of us followers of Jesus Christ, receives from the Holy Spirit at least one spiritual gift. And if each one of us plays their instrument, if each of us stewards their spiritual gifts, then we can make beautiful music together. Music that will draw the world to Christ. Music that will draw the world to wonder what's going on. Music that will make an impact for Jesus. So if you just pick up your instrument and play, that's all you need to do. Pick up your instrument and play. And if you develop your spiritual gift through practice, then you will make a difference. You'll make a difference for Christ. You'll make a difference for Christ in the church and in the world. And if you steward your spiritual gift faithfully, then one day the heavenly band director will give you the commendation that you and I both long to hear. Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. That's why, in our final message on God is the owner, we will discover the joy of stewarding our charisma. Did you know that you have charisma? You really do. You've got charisma. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you've got charisma. We'll find out how in a moment. So put your placeholder on that thought, because we're going to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 through 11, to discover how to steward our charisma. We're going to back up to verse 7 for context. So turn to 1 Peter 4, verses 7 through 11. If you're using the church Bible, you'll want to turn to page 859. The Holy Spirit has inspired this letter through the pen of the Apostle Peter to the Christians scattered throughout what is today Turkey. So 1 Peter 4, beginning with verse 7, though we'll concentrate on 10 through 11. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version this morning, so it'll be a little different from the Church Bible, but you'll get the thrust of it. The Word of the Lord. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Verse 10. Each has received a gift. Every single follower of Christ has received a gift. Use it. Steward it. Employ it. Activate it. Now, by gift, Peter means a spiritual gift. What is a spiritual gift? What are spiritual gifts? Charles Swindoll puts it this way. Spiritual gifts are divinely bestowed abilities given to every believer at the moment of salvation, which enable the believer to perform his or her service in the body of Christ, the church, so that the body functions with a maximum amount of effectiveness. And so the Holy Spirit gives each Christian at least one spiritual gift to use in ministry in the church. That means if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then the Holy Spirit has given you at least one spiritual ability for you to use in ministry in the body of Christ, the church. You have a band instrument. Maybe it's a trumpet. Maybe it's a tuba. Maybe it's a drum. Maybe it's a piccolo. But you've got one and your band needs you. A spiritual gift. And that makes you a minister. We're all ministers. Not only am I a minister, not only is Pastor Dave and Pastor Rick, but all of us, as followers of Christ, we're all ministers. And we're called to be ministers of the spiritual gifts that God has given to us, to steward our spiritual gifts in ministry. It says so right there in 1 Peter 4:10. As each has received a gift, use it. Pick up your instrument. Play it. Make the music. Now, God gives us spiritual gifts to employ for His purposes, and we find two of these purposes in 1 Peter 4:10 through 11. And so then, let's steward our spiritual gifts to fulfill the purposes that we receive in God's Word in 1 Peter 4:10 through 11. The first purpose in the passage is to serve one another. So let's steward our spiritual gifts to serve one another. 1 Peter 4:10. As each has received a gift, use it for this purpose, to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Now, Peter, as did the rest of the New Testament authors, wrote in the Greek language. And the Greek word translated gift is charisma. And so 1 Peter 4:10 says, each has received a charisma. So if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then guess what? You've got charisma. Say to yourself, I've got charisma. Turn to your neighbor and say, you've got charisma. Because if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you have a gift, a spiritual gift, which in the Greek is charisma. All right, now we can all go home. Not quite. Wow. Well, that kind of puts a different light on things. You've got charisma. But what's the purpose of your charisma? Why did God give you your spiritual gift? Peter tells us, use it, steward it to serve one another. See, the purpose of our spiritual gifts is not to put our charisma on display for people to admire. The purpose of our spiritual gift is not anything self. It's not self-esteem or self-promotion or self-development. The purpose of our spiritual gift is to serve one another. So let's steward our spiritual gifts to serve one another. And this fits the second step of our disciple-making pathway. Jesus tells us to love one another as he has loved us. And loving one another is serving one another, because Jesus came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Well, maybe now's a good time to just kind of shift our track a little bit and treat a couple of questions. One question is, well, what are the spiritual gifts? There are four passages where we find a list of spiritual gifts. Some of the lists are short, like the passage here. Others of them are longer. But we have fours and we have twelves. Okay, think of fours and twelves. The fours are Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter 4. And we're in 1 Peter 4 today. Here we find some listing of spiritual gifts. And then the twelves are Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. So maybe this afternoon when you're home, pick up your Bible and look at the fours and the twelves. Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. Here we find the lists of gifts. Some of the gifts are teaching, encouraging, showing mercy, leadership. Now, the Bible's list of gifts are not exhaustive. There are probably spiritual gifts dispensed by the Holy Spirit that are not listed. The lists are exemplary, but not exhaustive. That's something to keep in mind. Now, maybe the more pressing question for you is, how can I discover my spiritual gift? You might be sitting there all along by now saying, Pastor Chris, I know I've got charisma, but I don't know where I put it. You might be asking, you know, what is my spiritual gift? How do I find out? Here's how. It's really pretty simple. Gifts are discovered in ministry. Gifts are discovered in ministry. Start ministering. Start serving. Start doing something. If you enjoy it and if you are good at it, then you have likely uncovered your spiritual gift. Spiritual gifts are discovered in ministry through enjoyment and effectiveness. Your enjoyment is your gift that was trapped inside that finally is getting out. And your effectiveness is how you see yourself doing a good job that other people remark about. You'll discover your spiritual gift by settling into some ministry where you'll find both enjoyment and effectiveness. And you may find, oh, you're not good at some things, but you're good at others. Experiment a little bit. For example, if you enjoy leading a Bible study, and the participants tell you that you got that you did a good job and they got a lot out of it, well, then you have the gift of teaching. It's actually a fairly common gift. If you enjoy helping needy people, you help needy people, you visit a shut-in, you take a little meal, you spend time, and your help makes a difference in their lives, and you walk out of that shut-in's house and you're just enjoying that moment, well, then you may have the gift of showing mercy. So to discover your spiritual gift, start ministering. To discover your charisma, start charisma-ing. Don't you love the English language? You just make up any word you want. Charismas are discovered in ministry. Now, when we use our charisma to serve one another, then we are good stewards, 1 Peter 4:10 says. Well, what's a steward? In the time of the New Testament, the steward was the chief servant in a wealthy household. Today, we'd call the steward the butler. So the steward was the butler in New Testament time. And the steward ensured that the master's family had everything that they needed. And the steward made sure that the meals were prepared for the other servants. And the steward managed the daily affairs of the master's household. The steward would do the shopping or get someone to do it. The steward would keep the books, manage the daily affairs of the master's household. We're stewards. When we use our spiritual gifts to serve one another, then we are good stewards who take care of other servants. Good stewards who manage well the master's affairs. Be good stewards. Well, so now you've learned you've got charisma and you're a butler. A steward. Well, what exactly is it we're stewarding? What is it that the master has entrusted to us? Be good stewards of God's varied what? Grace. We are stewarding the grace of God. The Greek word translated grace is charis. The Greek word translated gift, as we've already seen, is charisma. See the connection? Charisma comes from charis. In other words, gift comes from grace. God does not give us our spiritual gifts because we deserve them. God doesn't give us our spiritual gifts because we're so high and mighty. God gives us our spiritual gifts by His grace. We don't deserve the charisma God's given to us. It's a manifestation of His grace. Charisma is a charis. Gift is a grace. So when we use our various spiritual gifts to serve one another, we are good stewards of the grace of God that He has poured out upon us. And like any grace, it's undeserved. Let's be good stewards. I grew up near the Luray Caverns of Virginia. And thousands of stalactites hang from the vaults of the caverns. And the Luray Caverns have a unique organ, none like it. The organ builder explored the caverns until he found the right size stalactite for each note in the organ's range. And then he wired an array of mallets along the stalactite so that each stalactite could be struck from the keyboard of the organ and sound just the right note. And when I was growing up, my family often visited the Luray Caverns, and I remember the deep, cavernous echoes of the organ's singing rocks. The organist would push a key, the mallet would strike its particular stalactite, and out would come the note. Note after note, harmony and melody, rock music. I've been waiting all morning to say that. God is the organist, and our spiritual gifts and all their varied grace are the stalactites. But the stalactites don't make a sound unless we strike our key. Unless we use our gift. And when God, by His grace, and it's all of grace, moves us to use our spiritual gifts to serve one another, then what beautiful music resounds in all the church. Some of us play melody, some of us play harmony. All of us play from the same sheet music, the very same sheet music. So let's be good stewards of God's varied grace. Let's use our spiritual gifts to serve one another. For it is love that brings us to our brother's feet. And it is grace that fills our basin with water. Peter uncovers for us a second purpose of the grace of the spiritual gifts that we're to steward. And that purpose is to glorify God. Let's steward our spiritual gifts to glorify God. 1 Peter 4:10-11. As each has received a charisma, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied charis. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. For what purpose? For what reason? In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen. Like packing various items in two duffel bags to take to Ghana, Peter packs all the spiritual gifts in two categories. And boy, does he pack. All these spiritual gifts, they all got to fit in two duffels. Two categories. There are the speaking gifts and what Peter calls the serving gifts. The speaking gifts and the serving gifts. Whoever speaks, whoever serves. Well, the speaking gifts would be teaching, evangelizing, encouraging. Gifts of the tongue, I suppose, would be another way to call it. If you have a speaking gift, how can you be a good steward of your gift? The scripture tells us, glorify God by speaking as one who speaks the oracles of God. So if you encourage people from the Word of God, the oracles of God. And if you evangelize, ask God to bring to your mind the right scriptures to speak, the oracles of God. And if you teach, remember the message, it's not to be your own opinion. Your message is to be the oracles of God. The oracles of God. God's Word. I've been doing this for 38 years. Most of my life. And I'm still nervous every Sunday morning when I'm preparing to bring the Sunday morning message. I'm still nervous after 38 years. But for a different reason now. When I was starting out, I would get nervous because of to whom I was speaking, all these people. But now I get nervous because of for whom I teach. Whoever speaks is one who speaks not his own word, but the very oracles of the Almighty, living, holy, holy, holy God. What a weighty task. What a burden to teach the oracles, the word of the Almighty God, before whom I will someday stand and give an account for every word I will have spoken. I'll be honest, I shrink back from it every Sunday morning. A part of me wants to flee on Pastor Dave's motorcycle. How dare I? How dare I speak for God? How dare I speak His oracles? The Almighty God, the Holy, Holy, Holy God. Who do I think I am? And yet God's called me to it. To shrink back would be disobedient. So I come every morning, every Sunday morning with fear and trembling. I really do. Not because of the people to whom I speak, but because of the God for whom I speak. Who am I that I should presume to speak the very oracles of the Almighty, ever-living, holy, holy, judge of all the earth, God? I really mean this. It's scary. So every Sunday morning before I come to this platform, I spend time either at home or in my office preaching the gospel to myself, preaching grace and mercy to myself, praying that God will fill my insufficiency with His sufficiency, my imperfections with His perfections, and most of all, my unworthiness with His worthiness. Because only when God fills my weakness with His strength, my insufficiency with His sufficiency, and my unworthiness with His worthiness, only then can I speak the very oracles of God. There's no other way. Whoever speaks, that's one speaking the very oracles of God. What an awesome, awesome responsibility. What an awesome, awesome calling. Yet He's called me to it. As He has so called every minister of the word, so let it be done, but with fear and trembling. Well, there's another set of gifts, the serving gifts. What if you're not a preacher? What if you're not a teacher? What if you have a serving gift? The serving gifts are gifts such as mercy and helps and administration. Well, then glorify God by being one who serves in the strength that God supplies. Serving God's strength, not your own. Many times, those with the serving gifts try to serve in their own strength. That's one of the pitfalls of the serving gifts, is that those with the serving gifts would try to serve in their own strength. Oh, yeah, we realize that the ministry of bringing the oracles of God, that needs a special grace, but we mistakenly think, and I mean mistakenly think, that cooking a meal for a church ministry event is just a matter of putting on an apron, getting the job done. Not so. Those with the serving gifts need to serve by the strength that God supplies, and His strength and His power. So if you have a serving gift, you're helping, you're serving. Remember, it can be only by the strength that God supplies. Draw the strength from Him. Because cooking a meal for a church dinner is a spiritual ministry. Because you're using a spiritual gift and you need God's strength for that. And then, when we who have speaking gifts speak the oracles of God, the word of God, And when we who have serving gifts serve in the strength of God, so that it is God's strength that is doing the serving, and it is God's word that is being spoken, then in everything God is glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen. So if the teacher's any good, let it be God who's glorified. I like the way the old gospel singer Andre Crouch put it. He's with the Lord now. Some of you remember him. If you do, I've got a 33 LP we can listen to. But he's saying, if I receive any praise, let it go to Calvary. In order that everything God may be glorified. And if mercy is shown to the poor, a serving gift, then let the glory be God's alone. Let's use our spiritual gifts to glorify God. And when we do, we're working and walking that first step of our disciple-making pathway, loving God with all we are. Well, so there we have it. You've got charisma. Say it again. I mean, doesn't that sound good? I've got charisma. Amen. That didn't sound too charismatic. Let's try again. I've got charisma. I've got charisma. There we go. You got a gift, a spiritual gift. Would you be a good steward of the spiritual gift that God's entrusted to you? How can you be a good steward of your charisma, your spiritual gift? Get involved in a ministry that you enjoy by God's grace. Settle into a ministry in which you can be effective. You see things happening. People tell you you're good at it by God's strength. You'll discover your gift. You'll be using your gift because gifts are discovered and used in ministry. How about it? Are you involved? Are you discovering and using your spiritual gift? Are you in the game? Or are you a spectator? And let me tell you one thing. The big game isn't happening later today. This is the big game. This is where God is at work. Are you in the game or are you a spectator? Are you on the field or in the stands? Are you on the court or in the bleachers? If you're a spectator, get into the game. Run onto the field. Step onto the court. Volunteer for ministry. If you're already in ministry, make sure your motives are right. We all struggle with self. We want the pat on the back. We want the attaboy. Make sure your motives are right. Do it not to bring attention to yourself, but to serve others and to glorify God. And let's all faithfully steward the spiritual gifts for the good of the church and the glory of God. And all God's people said, Amen.